Governor Scott Walker rolled out an $80 million plan last week to turn Lincoln Hills School for Boys into a medium security adult prison. We're talking about it on this installment of the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The plan involves opening at least five new teen prisons throughout the state. These actions will settle a nearly year-old federal lawsuit brought by reform advocates that detail treatment like dousing entire wings with pepper spray and locking teens in solitary confinement for up to 23 hours a day. Ed Wall is the former secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Corrections. Ed, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Kate. How are you?
I'm doing well. You were quoted in a WPR news story as saying Governor Walker's plan is a very good move. What's so good about it?
Well, we had during my administration, we had gone to the governor in the summer of September of 2015 and proposed a very similar program. What became obvious with the way that juvenile corrections had evolved in the state was that with having everyone in one facility in the northern part of the state was not functioning well, especially for the youth that were from the southern part of the state. We had looked at possibly reopening Ethan Allen on a limited basis and dividing it into smaller subunits within there and improving education, improving mental health, and then taking Lincoln Hills and converting it to a minimum/medium security institution. And I'd been working with former Governor Tommy Thompson in discussing that, in creating a technical college type atmosphere at Lincoln Hills to give offenders job skills and complete their high school diplomas, whatever else they needed to make them more employable when they left to go back into society. You see, 95% of inmates end up back on the street, and I think that Wisconsin can do better in preparing them when they come back out. Additionally, with our proposal, by moving a lot of those minimum security inmates into Lincoln Hills, we would have taken the northern camps, which are minimum security facilities, and made those into juvenile facilities for kids that were in the northern part of the state. So overall, it is a good move. I had looked at the Missouri model after Representative Evan Goyke had contacted us and shown his interest in it. I had spoken with the secretary from Missouri on their successes in doing it. And of course, in Missouri, it's not run by the Department of Corrections on the juvenile side. But he explained to me that it was very successful, and
so,
we advocated for that with the governor's office.
Why are smaller regional juvenile facilities better than one central prison, and is that the fix? Will that fix the issues that we have been hearing out of Lincoln Hills?
You know, I don't know if there's ever going to be a perfect fix, but what I think that you'll see, and one of the issues that we had at Lincoln Hills is when you have a large number of youth in one place, especially with a large percent of them coming out of Milwaukee, a lot of them with gang affiliations and different views on things, that becomes a flashpoint. When you get kids into smaller groups, and which is one of the things they try to accomplish at Lincoln Hills with the different cottages, you try and break it down into smaller groups so you can address them, give them the mental health treatment that they need, give them the education facilities and educational opportunities they need. It's just easier to work with them because, as you know, when you're a kid, there's a need sometimes to act out. There's a need to show off. There's a need to you know, be a leader of a group. And most of these kids that are sent there are there because of very serious crimes. So a lot of them are there thinking they have something to prove or something that they want to show off with. But when you get them alone and where you get them into small numbers and small groups, they're much easier to work with, and it's more of a reformative atmosphere.
Talking right now with Ed Wall. He's the former secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Corrections. We're discussing the closure of Lincoln Hills. That news came out last week. Your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Ed, how would you determine which inmates go to which prisons? Would it be strictly something about proximity, or would the most dangerous be housed in one facility, or how would that work?
Well, it's a kind of a blend of the both. So what you try and do with the Missouri model is you try and keep the kids geographically closer to their homes, because ultimately you want to make sure that you do not disrupt the support mechanisms they're going to have out of their families when they do get released. There is always going to be a need, though, to have a facility that's going to deal with those kids that are just uncontrollable. Now, whether that's Mendota Mental Health, whether it's a secure, a maximum secure facility, we're just going to need that. That's an unfortunate fact of life. And how you deal with that is, you know, whether you're going to designate one in Milwaukee and one in the northern part of the state, that's all logistics and semantics. But the fact of the matter is you will need it. It's probably better off done at Mendota Mental Health as the place to send them, because that's supposed to be the facility where they have the focus on mental health and dealing with those issues. But just like with the adult population, you're going to have people that are just too dangerous to live amongst regular inmates.
You've been critical of how the Walker administration has handled the issues coming out of Lincoln Hills. Why do you insist they haven't taken the matter seriously enough?
Well, we had gone to the governor when this all started back in when it first came to me in November of 2014. We went to the governor's office and explained to him what we had. I asked the Office of Special Operations to conduct an investigation and determine, A, if we had identified who the employees were and if we had identified who the victims were, understanding that if this had been going on for years, we could have victims anywhere in the state. The governor's office, you know, told me go ahead and have it investigated. I decided to have it done by the Division of Criminal Investigation since they had statewide criminal jurisdiction. But every time that we would go back to the governor's office with information and trying to give them ideas on how to address this, we were kind of pushed off. And it was more like, keep this quiet. We're not going to give you any money. I explained to him, I said, this problem will not go away. We have to have money to deal with it. We have to have money to try and attract people to take the job as youth counselors at the facilities. As it was, people could work at Walmart and make more money than they were working at corrections. And the governor's office absolutely refused to put money into corrections. Matter of fact, when they told me to finally acknowledge that we had problems, they had me meet with the DOA secretary, and all they did was help us arrange to move money around within our own budget. In other words, cut money out of other programs to deal with Lincoln Hills.
When you say there are victims all around the state, what are these victims of? How have they been victimized?
Well, and here's the thing, we didn't know. So at the time that we got the information alleging that youth counselors had been harming kids, we didn't have a time span. We didn't know if this just happened once. We didn't know if it had been going on for years. I wasn't going to take the chance, having previously run the Division of Criminal Investigation, of saying, okay, this just started last Wednesday. We had to look at this completely open-eyed and say, this could have been going on for years. It could have been going on for weeks. So we weren't going to limit the investigation to one simple time period. And, you know, if this had been going on for 2, 3, 4 years and kids were released and back on the streets, that would legitimately make them a victim of what had been going on. I didn't want to try and say that this just happened yesterday.
Besides this youth prison change, going from a central prison to a number of teen facilities around the state, what else do you think needs to be done with Wisconsin's juvenile correctional system?
Well, juvenile corrections is always going to be a tricky problem to deal with. You've got people on both sides of the aisle with their ideas of it. The problem with it is it gets bogged down in politics. And the one thing about corrections is it elicits visceral feelings from people on both sides. You'll have people that want everybody in prison forever. You have other people that want to see people given programming and create a better atmosphere. Juvenile corrections is no different. Juvenile corrections is more tricky because the mind of youth is developing at that age. And we know this through all the scientific studies in how we handle kids. One of the things that we ran into at Lincoln Hills when we were trying to do trauma-informed care was the officers, didn't want to buy into the fact that trauma-informed care was a legitimate and a good way to deal with youth. So that created a kind of a rough spot between the youth and the management and the employees. So there's a lot of things that need to be done with it, but the Missouri model and breaking that down is a good place to start. Now, would I spend $80 million in building new facilities? Well, I suppose that'd be a nice thing to do, but I tend to be a little more frugal. We had the facilities and the infrastructure in place to do it with our northern camps and with reopening Ethan Allen, but the governor's office was opposed to reopening Ethan Allen because they had closed Ethan Allen.
Well, Ed, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Ed Wall is the former secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Corrections. When we return, we'll learn more about juvenile delinquency cases and how they're handled with the head of the Juvenile Life Without Parole Project at the University of Wisconsin-Madison Law School, and your insights on the closing at Lincoln Hills. 800-642-1234. Send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Have you been to Lincoln Hills or Copper Lake? Do you know anyone who works there or is an inmate there? What is it like? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll be back after a check of the latest news. Wisconsin plans to open at least 5 new detention centers and close 2 troubled detention facilities for youth. We're talking about it on this edition of the State Capitol Report. I'm KDART Chair Kent. Governor Scott Walker announced the closure of the Lincoln Hills facility last week, and he detailed an $80 million plan that will, quote, align with nationally recognized best practices. Eileen Hirsch is a clinical instructor in the Remington Center at the University of Wisconsin-Madison Law School and the director of the center's Juvenile Life Without Parole Project. She was also an assistant state public defender who specialized in juvenile delinquency cases and frequently visited Lincoln Hills to talk with her clients. Eileen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, we learned that you are pleased with this decision to close Lincoln Hills and set up regional facilities around the state. Why is this the right thing to do?
Well, I'm most pleased. I'm very pleased with that, but I'm also most pleased with the governor's statement that they intend to align their practices with national standards and national practices, because there is considerable research about what works best for rehabilitation of kids who have committed crimes. Small facilities are an important part of that. So I'm glad that both they're moving to smaller facilities and that they're going to try to use best practices in those facilities.
Is a multiple facility approach, is that a fix-all, or are there more things that need to be done here?
No, that's a good step forward. I know that Ed Wall talked a little bit about the Missouri model, and that has been a model that's been publicized around the country. They have facilities that have no more than 40 juveniles in them, so that's a start. But the next steps involve, and this is the important thing, I think, for Wisconsin, is to figure out a treatment model that's effective based on the evidence. And one of the steps, and the reason small facilities are important, is one of the most important things we know is that effective treatment is based on strong interpersonal relationships. In order for a juvenile and adolescent to change behaviors, to change attitudes, to change their way of thinking, they have to believe that the adult that they're working with cares about them and is actually interested in in what's good for that child. So that the development of interpersonal relationships is an important step and needs to be part of the Wisconsin model as we develop these smaller facilities.
You've spent a lot of time working with juvenile offenders, and you've been to Lincoln Hills to visit with inmates. Is there a fairly accurate profile out there that fits these inmates, or are they from all walks of life with different stories and different experiences?
I think they're from all walks of life with different stories and different experiences. You know, they range in age, as you can imagine, from about 12 to 17, sometimes 18. So just begin with that. They come from all parts of the state. They come from all different family backgrounds. Many of them have been abused or neglected or have suffered trauma in some way in their lives. I think that that's a fairly common factor, but it's not universal. And so it's important to deal with each of these kids as who they are when they come in individually.
Let's bring in Patrick, who joins us from Ironwood, Michigan. Hi, Patrick.
Hello.
Go ahead.
I was calling. I happened to hear your report on the radio about Lincoln Hills. I was actually a student there from 2001 to 2001. And I was told by several people that there was just abuse going on, and a kid actually hung himself while I was there.
What was your experience, Patrick?
It was terrible. I went to Rogers Cottage, and it was just terrible. Like, the living experiences were just not what they should have been. The counselors were unwilling to help, and they were just kind of lazy. They sat there and smoked in the office. There was a time where they actually get nerve gassed the entire cottage with because there was some other students that stole the cigarettes and lighter and ran in the room and locked the door with their toothbrush.
Patrick, thank you so much for calling in with your experience. Eileen, what do you make of this?
Well, first of all, Patrick, thank you. I hope that you're doing much better now. I think it's true. I mean, I think that the fundamental flaw in Lincoln Hills and any of our juvenile correctional institutions, Ethan Allen, there was Southern Oak School for Girls, there's Copper Lake School, is it's based on the adult corrections model, which is a very rigid, rule-based model in which conditions of punishment are part of the punishment for the crime. And it's very impersonal. That, you know, Ethan Allen used to refer to the child, as offender last name. They didn't even use their names. They wear uniforms. They have no personal items. Punishment has been based, as he said, on mechanical restraints, chemical restraints like pepper spray, and isolation and segregation. Those things don't work for kids. As Edwell mentioned, they're developing their own self-concept. And so the concept that we convey to them, we tell them when they come into a setting like this, is that they're criminals, and that's the person they're going to become, that's who they think they are. The task of adolescence is to develop an identity. The Missouri model, the effective ways of treating, are to treat kids very humanely, to help them develop an identity or a self-concept that's based on positive role models, positives about their own character. The idea is to help them develop socially and to create positive social bonds in the community so that they can become positive adults.
Let's bring in Jared from Appleton. Jared, go ahead.
Hi. I just had a couple things I'd like to say. I was never in Lincoln Hills. I was in Prairie du Chien, which is often an overflow from Lincoln Hills. When I was there, I worked as a tutor in the school there for 2 years while I was there. And my biggest problem is juveniles are also sentenced the same way as adults. They're sentenced under truth in sentencing. So they have a release date, whether they do programming, whether they don't do programming, whether they get an education or they don't get education, they don't get any benefit from following through with programming. 90% of the kids that I saw go through the school in Prairie du Chien, they didn't want to be in the school. They had no desire because there's no reward. There's no benefit for doing this program.
Jared, thank you so much for calling in. With that, Eileen, no benefit from following through on programming.
Yes, and let me just make a distinction. Jared is actually talking about the juveniles who are sentenced in the adult system, in the adult criminal system, and go to adult correctional institutions. Prairie du Chien, for as long as I know, has been an adult correctional institution. They do tend to take the younger adult offenders. But as we know, kids in Wisconsin starting at age 10 can be sentenced in criminal court and sent to adult prisons, and that's what Prairie du Chien is. He is really touching on my current work, which is involving juveniles who are sentenced to effectively life in prison sentences and aren't given the chance to rehabilitate, as he said, and work their way out of prison. That's not the juvenile correctional institution that we're talking about. When we talk about Lincoln Hills and Copper Lakes and the governor's plans for juvenile justice, that institution, that system, does allow kids to work their way through and work their way out of juvenile corrections and back to their communities.
And so, finally, before we have to let you go, what is your hope for this whole juvenile corrections overhaul that has been laid out by Governor Walker?
My hope is that we really fundamentally change the way we look at juvenile corrections, that we develop programs based on evidence, based on interpersonal relationships, using cognitive behavioral therapy, integrating families into treatment, and particularly that we really focus on providing support to these kids as they come out of institutions and go back to their communities. It's a crucial time. We need to work on that. We need to treat them as people who can and will contribute positively to society. I think that will serve both the children, their families, and it really will serve the larger community in terms of lower recidivism rates.
Eileen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Eileen Hirsch is a clinical instructor in the Remington Center at UW-Madison Law School and the director of the center's Juvenile Life Without Parole Project. She was also an assistant state public defender who specialized in juvenile delinquency cases. We're talking about Governor Walker's plan announced last week to close the state's youth prison complex, Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake, that is the target of a federal investigation, and turn the complex into a medium security adult prison. The prison complex is located 30 miles north of Wausau. Now let's turn to Republican State Senator Tom Tiffany of Hazelhurst, whose district includes the Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake juvenile prisons. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, good morning. Great to be here.
Well, following Governor Walker's announcement, you and State Representative Mary Felskowski of Irma, whose assembly district includes Lincoln Hills, you put out a statement that said the plan would be good for job creation. How do you figure?
The governor has announced that, along with the Corrections Secretary Litcher, that they're going to repurpose the Lincoln Hills facility, probably to a medium security facility. There's space needs that are needed in the correctional system here in Wisconsin, and they're going to repurpose the facility. And there'll probably end up being more people, based on what I'm hearing, that will be in the facility than there is right now. So, you know, that's certainly a good thing. I mean, the number one goal here with the juvenile correction facility at Lincoln Hills is to rehabilitate young people who have taken a wayward path in life. I mean, it's important to remember, some people have portrayed the young people up there at Lincoln Hills as, you know, they perhaps, you know, have been involved with petty crime, shoplifting, things like that. That's not the case at all. These are carjackers, perhaps attempted murder, those type of things. Those are the young people that are up there. Lincoln Hills has a long, proud tradition, 40-plus years of rehabilitating young people, kind of gotten off the path here over the last few years for a variety of reasons. And so the number one goal...
And how will the governor's plan address those troubles we've been hearing from Lincoln Hills, the inmates behaving badly and staff using excessive force? How will this plan address that?
Well, so we heard from Representative Goyke over the last number of months. He's talked about using the Missouri model, breaking this up into smaller cohorts of young people, and having five facilities here in Wisconsin, and that's what the governor is going to do. And hopefully that'll be effective. There's other states that believe they have the data to show that this has been a more effective model, and Wisconsin is going to move in that direction.
So the plan is an $80 million plan that Lincoln Hills be converted to an adult prison. A spokesperson for Governor Walker said that if the legislature wants to speed up the timeline, the governor would support it. Do you want to pick up the pace here, or are you okay with the way that the governor has proposed?
Well, as with anything in state government, it's going to take a little bit of time. I mean, first of all, you have to identify the five communities where these facilities are going to be opened, and then you have to find the facilities. That will not happen overnight. So I think the transition period of a year to 2 years is probably accurate. If it can be move more quickly than 2 years in terms of a transition, that would be great. But it will take a little bit of time to procure the facilities and identify the communities where these facilities should be opened.
State Senator, we're going to talk with your Democratic colleague from Milwaukee, Lena Taylor, next. She said the governor is, quote, a day late and a dollar short. She accused him of neglecting the issue for years. And with his election coming up this year, now he decides to act. She also took him to task for not visiting Lincoln Hills or any other correctional facility once. Has Governor Walker been on top of this problem?
I think, to me, what was the final straw is when Judge Peterson basically emboldened the young people there with his order last summer. At the end of August, you had three young people that got out of the facility, went up on the roof of a building at Lincoln Hills, and they were taunting the staff saying, "You can't touch us." So there's been a lack of discipline there, partly as a result of outside forces. I would urge Senator Taylor, while she talks to her constituents about this, she should come up and talk to my constituents who have worked there, who have been beaten. We've heard stories of people that work there that were treated horribly by the young people there. And the judge emboldened those young people, and it was at that point it became clear that we were going to have to make some significant changes at Lincoln Hills. I think it's important to look forward at this point, and that's what we want to do on a bipartisan basis, working with people like Representative Goyke and others.
What else do you think needs to happen with regard to juvenile corrections?
I think just as I said, is there are proposals out there to be able to break the total number of people up at Lincoln Hills that are incarcerated there into smaller cohorts, and that's the direction the governor is going to move in, and there is bipartisan support for doing that. I think that's the direction that we should go at this point and try to find a more effective way to be able to try to rehabilitate some of these people who, these young people who have led a wayward path in life.
What is your ultimate hope then for this juvenile corrections overhaul and once this overhaul is carried out?
You want to see success, just like Lincoln Hills had for 40-plus years. Clearly, things have gotten off track the last few years, but Lincoln Hills has a long, proud tradition. I mean, I know I have many friends and neighbors who have worked there and have poured their hearts and soul into that facility trying to turn around wayward youth. We need to get back to that ethic that was at Lincoln Hills for decades.
Senator Tiffany, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Tom Tiffany is a Republican state senator from Hazelhurst, whose district includes the Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake juvenile prisons. When we return, we'll hear from a Democratic state senator from Milwaukee and gather your reactions to the closing of Lincoln Hills at 800-642-1234. You can send an email to ideas@WPR.org. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. What is your reaction to the governor's move? Is juvenile lockup the answer, or is there a better solution? We'll return to the conversation after a news update. Stay with us. The The plan announced last week by Governor Walker is to reorganize the Lincoln Hills Copper Lake juvenile prisons into medium security adult prisons and open at least five smaller regional prisons for young offenders. We're talking about it on this edition of the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The $80 million plan is a way to deal with a number of problems at the youth detention facilities and address crowded adult prisons. Now let's bring in Democratic State Senator Lena Taylor from Milwaukee. She co-authored a bill to close the Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake juvenile facilities. State Senator, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Governor Walker has been getting quite a bit of praise for this new plan, including from some people who had their issues with him. But you said in a statement that, quote, he's a day late and a dollar short. How do you figure?
Because we should not be putting off till tomorrow what we can do today. Governor Walker should hold a special session. He did it for Foxconn. These children, as well as the correctional officers and staff that work in Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake, deserve the same fast-track treatment that Foxconn got. So a special session should be done. He also should change how we approach juvenile justice immediately by moving it to the Department of Children and Families, like we tried to do in 2008 when we brought up the regional model in smaller prisons, and we created the Department of Children and Families, meaning myself and Representative Tamara Grigsby at the time on the Finance Committee. So we tried to say what should be done. We were not able to put juvenile corrections in the Department of Children and Families at that time, but your expert, Eileen, even mentioned that the problem is the model we use is an adult model that we just use on youth. And Senator Tiffany's mindset is reflected in all the comments that he said, because what he was asking me to do, he should instead be doing that request of Governor Walker, since Governor Walker is where the buck should stop, and Governor Walker is the one that should be responsible. I've visited to Lincoln Hills, and as a matter of fact, more prisons, I think, than most legislators. I went there, did community sessions with people from the community to help in Lincoln Hills, and I've also spoke to the correctional officers. If we don't do a special session and we don't change the model so that we're dealing with either the Department of Health Services or Children and Families, we're not going to correct the trauma and the harm that is existing. And then lastly, we should include the Justice Center, who has offered technical assistance to seek funding for us, and they will tailor what we should do based on our data and our needs, something else the expert spoke to.
Well, the governor's plan would turn Lincoln Hills into an adult facility and set up these regional juvenile prisons around the state. First of all, isn't that pretty much what you have been asking for? And then follow up, will that fix the problem?
So first, yes, it is what we've asked for, which is why I say he's a day late and a dollar short, because when he had the opportunity to do it in his budget, he did not. And he's not taking action now. And in case no one remembers, he's done this every election time, giving you something to 250,000 jobs, for example, remember? And we never got them. So I don't know if this is shenanigans or not by the governor, but it smells like it is. And if he means to be true to what he's saying, then he would change it to the Department of Children and Families or DHS. He would do a special session now and not put off today, put it off till tomorrow what we can do today.
But how quickly can you overhaul a prison system? The plan he wants is in the next two-year budget. His office said if lawmakers want to do it before them, he'd get behind that.
So a couple things. The governor has been able to do a special session for Foxconn. We moved a bill to give away $3 billion to a foreign company. Without any accountability originally, without the press of the legislature, it would have never happened from Governor Walker's plan. So we can do a special session, and we can at least change to the Department of Children and Families and allow the experts to come in. We did the Justice Reinvestment Model with the Justice Center. It took us about 6 months for them to analyze our data 5-6 months and give us recommendations of what we should do. So short version, why not accept experts that will come that have worked these kinds of efforts in all places of the nation and use best practices and evidence-based approaches? They've done it all over the nation and have proven to have great success. Why would we not want experts who can help us to get Pew Foundation money and others to be a part? I think that it's shameful that we're saying we're going to wait to 2019 when we could do a special session today. We could change the concentration to either be the Department of Children and Families or the Department of Health. And I do agree that a regional model approach is good, but why haven't you given Milwaukee County authority? They've been asking for 2 years.
State Senator Lena Taylor is with us. She's a Democratic state senator from Milwaukee. We're discussing the closure of Lincoln Hills and the $80 million plan to put smaller juvenile prisons around the state. Let's go to Lisa in Janesville. Go ahead, Lisa.
But what I'd like to say is speak to what the guest speaker also talked about, which is crucially important, is the connection the staff have to these children. And if you simply hire people who play a role as a bodyguard and are out to punish the children, nothing will happen. I worked at a facility in northern Wisconsin in the early to mid-90s, and I observed many staff who didn't understand the cycle of abuse, the need for trust, the need for a connection. And the children, as in their homes, would identify the individual in power. And a lot of times it was the staff who were not out for the children's best interest, were there maybe because they had their own issues or they were out for the bottom dollar that they were getting. Children that I worked with, when I left, I had a girl who had, she probably called me every name under the sun, had attacked me. And so I'd allude to what Mr. Tiffany was saying there. But when I left that facility, because I gave them consequences, but with care, she let me know she always knew where she stood with me and that meant a lot to her.
Lisa, thank you so much with those observations. State Senator, she said the staff may not be looking out for the children's best interests.
I think the issue that the expert brought up and that Secretary Wall brought up about trauma-informed care is what Lisa speaks to. You know, trauma-informed care basically states that, you know, that the child has, you know, had these different you know, adverse experiences. And I think the short version is in order for that to change, there has to be a trusted relationship in order to heal from that trauma. That's not happening at Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake. I know specifically because when I went and the lesson that they were doing where they had victim and they had it balled up and they had it on the wall and we asked about it, we learned that they were not using the trauma-informed care approach. That is back when Secretary Wall was there, and pushing that issue was huge, which is one of the reasons why the Grow Academy got started, because urban agriculture or agriculture can be used for trauma-informed care. And in that effort, it has proven to be very successful for Dane County. That is one of the models that I think we definitely should use in Milwaukee, and they've started to actually implement in the detention center in Milwaukee. So maybe we will be able to have a facility like the Grow Academy that Secretary Wall started when he was here.
State Senator Lena Taylor, do you have more bus visits to Lincoln Hills and more programming for inmates planned for 2018?
It has been our desire to do that. We're having a little more challenge with the Department of Corrections under Secretary Lichter than I anticipated. Secretary Wall allowed us to bring community groups in and to work with the youth, which helps, in my opinion, the correctional officers. We've had a lot more hurdles and new rules put in since Don Frisky and Secretary Lichter have been there.
What kind of hurdles? What are you seeing? What are the roadblocks?
For example, before Secretary Wall allowed us to go to meet with the young people, to you know, do small groups with them, we're being told that we will not necessarily be able to do that. We were even able to visit individuals that were in solitary confinement just to check on their mental health state. We're told we may not be able to do that. Individuals who had been in Lincoln Hills before or in our juvenile facility and are doing work now with DOC and with juvenile corrections came and worked with us as we came up, and we're told that now individuals who might have a prior record may not be able to come in, even though as a state we banned the box. So, you know, these are some of the challenges that we've had, but we've not stopped trying to make it possible.
What is your overall outlook on Wisconsin's juvenile corrections system, considering this latest plan by Governor Walker?
Very candidly, our system has inhumane treatment, unsafe circumstances for staff and juveniles that are in the facility, staff that is not adequately trained and overworked and underpaid. And so those are extreme challenges. You cannot create, as Senator Tiffany
Tom
said,
Tiffany,
Yeah, you can't create a place that will create rehabilitation for young people if you have a place that is stacked in inhumane, not evidence-based approaches. And
but Tom Tiffany, he also said there is a long history here of staff really trying to rehabilitate these young people.
And you know what? I believe that there is, and I believe that there are staff who also did a good job. You know, we also were the first state in the nation to give a black man the right to vote. And we were a place at one point that did not have the worst statistics in the world for African Americans and the worst place to raise a black child, but we are now. And we have a pipeline to prison. And so if we're going to deal with, and we have the most segregated city in the nation. So if we're going to deal with our issues that are embedded in a system that is not designed appropriately that exists in our juvenile system, and also some inhumane treatment, and we have frankly been labeled before for inhumane treatment in our adult system. So if we're going to address those issues, we have to be honest. And I think we also have to take a look at Dr. Joy DeGruy's book that talks about trauma-informed care.
Let's leave it there. State Senator Taylor, thank you for making time for us.
Thank you.
Lena Taylor is a Democratic state senator from Milwaukee. Earlier, we talked with former Corrections Secretary Ed Wall, former Assistant State Public Defender Eileen Hirsch, and Republican State Senator Tom Tiffany. By the way, we did invite Governor Scott Walker and current Corrections Secretary John Litcher, but they did not get back to us. This hour of the morning show was produced by Bill Martins and Nyasia Ellison. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this is the Ideas Network.